What's up, guys? I'll tell you. There are things in life that are very fast-paced. But this show is not one of them. Welcome to the slow show. Where we get to talk about science fiction. And whatever comes to mind. And in particular, we get to talk about science fiction universe known as the Chronoverse. The Chronoverse is a parallel world based on our own. The only difference is the history begins to diverge from the year 2020 onwards. I don't know what will happen from this point forward. I don't think anybody knows. You would need to be God, be able to peer into the future somehow. And honestly, I don't think that is really possible. But I think even though we as human beings are not able to foresee the future exactly, but it is our natural born, I wouldn't say it a talent, but I guess it's part of our intellect is to predict. We will never cease to stop. Try to predict what will happen based on our actions, and that is how we make decisions. Because everything we do, we understand that there are consequences. And outside of ourselves, we also try to comprehend, to model, and to predict how the greater world functions. And thus, we are able to predict a lot of things. The movement of the planets. We have very precise models so that we will know exactly where a particular celestial body would end up. Even thousands of years, even millions of years from now. So don't tell me that we don't try and we don't succeed at predicting some things. But there are systems far more complex than the revolution of planetary bodies, which follow very simple laws of physics and mathematics, such as humanity or civilization or just any particular person. Try to predict what they are thinking at any given moment, and you might succeed if you know somebody very well. But complex systems are difficult. In a way, Chronoverse is an extrapolation of current events in the hopes of elucidating what is to come. For example, a automation revolution. Automation revolution is at the cusp of occurring. We see it right in front of our eyes. It's one of the central themes, one of the central problems that humanity is faced with, is this impending obsolescence of everything which humanity has achieved. What we do with our human hands and our human minds and our human bodies, this mortal shell, is magical, is beautiful, is has brought us all the way from the primordial prehistoric days, when before the dawn of civilization, before the dawn of history and memory, it's brought us all the way here. But the future of those assets, those resources, is under question, is under threat, perhaps. Automation, revolution. And what will people do when machines are able to drive, machines are able to analyze vast amounts of data and perform calculations, even build models, prediction models, far beyond the capacity given to the human mind. And what's more is a revolution in production. It's already happening. It is the source of our power, and at the same time, it is perhaps, like Elon Musk suggests, it is like summoning the demon, but we're already doing it. Now, I have to stop myself here for a moment and clarify that by no means am I suggesting that we are doomed or that technology itself is evil. That wouldn't be fair, and it wouldn't also, it wouldn't be necessary, it wouldn't be appropriate. But there are two factions, there are two paths, perhaps, that the Chronoverse explores, in which technology can continue to evolve. On the one hand, as I have mentioned multiple episodes, pretty much every episode is this faction known as the futurists, who do believe that automation is not only good, but that it is inevitable. That life will continue beyond the shackles of biological these are constraints. They have a vision of the future that many buy into already, perhaps not even knowing what exactly lies at the end of the path. Because, let's face it, how can anyone be for sure until we get there, right? On the other side, in stark contrast against the futurists, are the humanists. There's so many amazing aspects to this world, to the parallel history, that I would love to dive into. I could talk about all the disasters which have inevitably come to shape the psyche of the society in 2042, 22 years from today. I could tell you about in this line of thinking, I can tell you about the earthquake which shattered the American West Coast. Shattered but did not break. By no means did it break. In fact, as you will see, a certain pattern will emerge as you see the parallel history unfold, is that often what is disastrous stimulates growth, stimulates innovation in ways which will surprise, end up surprising everybody. Great technological breakthroughs will continue to occur sequentially until the face of technology will become almost unrecognizable in a mere 22 years when we get to 2042. And in large, these innovative breakthroughs have all come through a kind of compensation or survival, self-preservation, in order to meet these unpredictable, unexpected, and entirely calamitous events. Such as the earthquake. Just imagine, in a matter of seconds, the land which you stand upon begins to wobble and turn into giant waves, like water. And in a matter of minutes, great chasms will form. And the shoreline would all of a sudden clunk into a new equilibrium, but in doing so would drop, perhaps a couple of meters. I don't think I've ever been particularly scared of earthquakes. To be honest, I haven't experienced any great earthquake, and most people have not. But I think I might have mentioned in the last episode about a particular powerful event which occurred 300 years ago. A shock that reverberated and was felt around the world. The Cascadia subduction zone last erupted 300 years ago, and the subsequent waves which were generated swept across the Pacific and caused great grief and destruction in Japan. And where is this Cascadia subduction zone located? It's actually off the coast of Oregon in Washington State. And the people whose oral tradition have passed to the present day, who had lived in the North American coast at that time, all across North and South America, experienced this great event. So that this event was passed down through their oral history. This is the event that would shake the world in 2022 in the parallel history of the Chronoverse. I certainly hope that this breaking asunder of the North American coast, West Coast, would not occur until much later. But it is a possibility. One out of many terrible things that happens, which would propel the rate of innovation forward. Propel it forward. So, I guess the parallel history of the Chronoverse can be summed up in a series of accelerating events, natural disaster or man-made, that ultimately would accelerate like a great catalyst the evolution of human technology, so that we can have all the cool stuff we can explore all of the relevant subjects, such as the automation revolution. We can explore these themes in an accelerated manner. As I mentioned, four fundamental technological breakthroughs would occur between now and 2042 in Chronoverse. Number one being the computation revolution brought about by the mysterious mathematical cult known as Holy Quanta. And two, an energy revolution brought about by the, should I, spoiler alert, in this parallel universe, Russia is unfortunately destroyed in a nuclear mistake. And I want to stress that this for sure is not just pure speculation. The possibility that that whole nations, even all of humanity, could face almost instant annihilation from a mistake, because it is actually documented, and the previously confidential high security records of this event have been released, that during the Cold War, that is the standoff between all of the allied nations and NATO with the United States as the leader, was in the standoff against Soviet Russia. That there was a possibility of world annihilation, because the person who was monitoring, because basically the way that nuclear standoffs work is that in order to protect yourself, you have to do so with the commitment towards nuclear retaliation. Automatic nuclear retaliation in the event, to cover the event of a wide-scale attack. An attack that could wipe out the entire nation or the entire government. And this is the only way in which, in such a situation, that one of the warring parties can protect themselves, because it is to say that if you attack and you kill me, even if you kill me, my automated system would retaliate and kill you. You don't want to be killed, do you? It is the ultimate madness that the deterrence against violence should come to rest upon the threat of mutual annihilation. In similar fashion, that is how Russia is destroyed. But humanity has not been destroyed. In fact, the Russian exile government, or the government that has fled, forms this new alliance, or becomes the leader of a new alliance, to try to ensure that such an event would never happen again. Jartsitsa is the name of this organization formed out of the ashes of the Russian Republic. The word in Russian means firebird, the phoenix, who, no matter how many times destroyed, will always rise from the ashes. Jartsitsa. Let's just take a moment, because actually today I was very stressed. As last night, I was also very stressed. And the reason, I would have to admit, it's not work. It's not anything in particular with my going on in my life that is stressful, but a particular game, one of my favorite games, called StarCraft. So I will have to apologize if the slow show seems a little bit slower than usual or choppy, because I'm a firm believer, and I do think it's true that your vibration, how you feel, will directly influence the way that you talk, the way that you think. Whereas usually I can patiently and fluidly talk about any subject. Perhaps today I'm finding it particularly challenging. And I apologize. I want to say that nevertheless, despite having been incredibly stressed out because I was doing a gaming binge, it's kind of like an addiction, one game after another. And if you win, you want to play more. If you lose, you want to play more, you want to play again so that you can win and try to end on a good note. But if you do win, you end up playing again because you want to. There's all kinds of excuses that emerge from For example, that you're consolidating some good energy, or that you have learned some technique and you want to try it again to integrate it into your normal game, so on and so forth. So I lost my last game, and I think I lost because I was just so tired. I played for maybe 5 hours straight, actually. Do I have an addictive personality? I guess, you know, I never thought of myself as having an addictive personality, because I've always been able to have pretty good self-control. But yeah, if I can honestly recall, these kind of little competitions, games, really, they are addictive for me. Because I guess I do have a very strong desire to win. I enjoy winning, sometimes to the point of being afraid to even compete, which I think is the ultimate ridiculous kind of a mentality, being so afraid of losing that you don't compete, that you don't even try. It's something that's plagued me, has plagued me in the past before. But I just want to say that is fine. That's perfectly fine, and that's perfectly normal, and stress is fine too. I don't envy anybody who is stressed, but neither do I envy or think it's possible that anybody lives through life without any kind of stress, because that's a life without any heartbeat, almost. I don't think it's a very exciting life, or a life worth living. So, yeah. We didn't really have a particular topic, but we don't need a topic for the day. And if there is one, let's just call it stress is fine. Once again, thank you for listening. This is The Slow Show. Good night.